This is the Bates Bobcast, our weekly podcast that takes a look at the week that was in Bates athletics. My name is Aaron Morrison. This week we are celebrating the 40th anniversary of the 1984 Bates men's lacrosse team, which saw the Bobcats go 11-0 during the regular season. Plus, our Bobcats of the week come from women's lacrosse and baseball, and track and field finally got some nice weather to run and throw in. That's coming up on the Bates Bobcast. The women's lacrosse team rolled to a 22-2 win over Husson last Tuesday at Garcelon Field. 12 different Bobcats found the back of the net, including sophomore Lauren Wong, who tallied 3 goals and 1 assist. She followed that up with 2 goals, 1 assist, and 3 ground balls in a road loss to nationally ranked Trinity on Saturday. Through 9 games, Wong has recorded a team-leading 21 points, and she is our female Bobcat of the week. Well, Lauren, you're a sophomore now here at Bates, but take us back to when you were in high school. What made Bates the place for you?
First of all, I loved the campus. I thought it was so pretty. I visited in August, so it was sunshiny, and I also loved the community. I mean, I feel like that's something that a lot of people say, but it's really true. The people here are so nice, and that really drew me in.
Yeah, well, growing up, what made lacrosse your favorite sport?
I just love, like, the teamwork aspect of everything. You know, there's no better feeling than connecting with a teammate on the field, and I fell in love with it ever since I was little.
Did you play other sports, or was lacrosse the one?
Yeah, I also played field hockey, okay. Which I loved field hockey as well, but lacrosse was just, like, my favorite always.
Excellent. And then, so for you, you know, you obviously had an immediate impact as a first year last year. What was that like to come into college and, you know, get a lot of playing time and you know, score some goals early on?
Yeah, it was definitely really cool. I feel like as a freshman, it's hard because you come in and you don't want to step on people's toes and you're experiencing everything for the first time. So it was definitely really cool to be able to play and make an impact as a freshman. So.
And then now as a sophomore, what are some things you've been working on, like, kind of year one to year two here?
It's definitely been a big change. I feel like my confidence has gotten a lot better as a sophomore, and stepping into, like, leadership roles, you know, you kind of have to be a role model for the freshmen. So, definitely been working on, like, my leadership, my communication, things like that.
And then tell us a little about this first-year group that's come in behind your class.
I love them. Yeah. I'm, like, best friends with all of them. I love playing with them. They're all amazing, and I'm really excited to see where this team goes.
And tell me a little bit about your role on the team, because your attacks, we have, like, you attack maybe a little midfield. Tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, so I was actually recruited as a midfielder. Okay. I played midi a lot throughout high school, but I kind of stepped into more of an attack role, which is really cool. Sometimes I'm on the circle. It's really cool to kind of bring those aspects together, like my midfield kind of and attack. I know how to play defense, so that's also been, like, a skill that I implement on the ride, like when I'm, you know, transitioning the ball.
A big win over Husson this past week. A lot of people, everyone got to play. A lot of people got to score. You had 3 goals. Take us through, you know, a game like that and how fun that is.
I mean, it's so fun. Yeah, I'm really, really just, like, pumped to see the potential of this team is, like, really high. And it was just so fun to be able to work with, like, a bunch of different people.
We had that Lucy Taylor behind the back goal.
Oh, yeah.
Got everyone hyped up, right?
It was awesome. I mean, oh, she's amazing. Yeah, the stick skills on this team is really great, and I'm really just really excited.
So we have some breaking news on the Bobcast. If you've checked our online schedule, you might have noticed that the boating game got moved to tonight for the women's lacrosse team. So one less day to prepare. Does that change much?
I mean, it's definitely a setback in terms of, like, not being able to practice another day, but I feel like we're so ready. We've scouted them really well, and I'm just super excited.
You know, we had Caroline Taggart on a few weeks back, and she mentioned that Coach Dowd has really emphasized, you know, this year, trying different things, right? Mm-hmm. And don't be worried if you make mistakes, because a lot of stuff is brand new. So tell me a little bit about that, how the team has been kind of experimenting with different, you know, strategies.
Yeah, definitely. We've implemented a lot of new plays, and I think a huge emphasis is just kind of being creative and working with each other. I think that having new strategies and being creative is definitely something that is being implemented, and I'm super excited.
In women's lacrosse, you know, we always talk in every sport about how the NESCAC is pretty tough. I feel like women's lacrosse, there's the biggest difference between NESCAC games and non-conference games. I mean, NESCAC is incredible. Like, every team you're playing is almost top 25. Bowdoin, I think, is at number 25 right now. So tell me a little bit about the challenge of these NESCAC teams and what's going to take maybe for the team to break through in your mind.
Yeah, I mean, the out-of-conference games, we kind of like work on a lot of new plays, new strategies. And then going into NESCAC play, we have to kind of like shift our mind into like, okay, let's take what we learned and like really like set it in for the NESCAC play. And I think that we just need to like set our mind to it and be confident in ourselves. And I think that's like key to NESCAC play.
Great. And then I believe you're an economics major here. Is that right?
I am.
So tell me a little bit about, you know, your track in terms of what you decided to study at Bates.
So I'm an economics major and math minor. Mm. I'm really interested in like kind of the finance industry. I'm looking into like actuary, like that type of stuff. I just really like to look at data and like kind of seeing like the results and like analyzing it. So definitely like somewhere between those tracks. Not quite sure yet.
And then just any other thoughts on the season so far and what some goals are kind of going forward for the team in your mind?
Definitely a goal of ours is a NESCAC win. That's something that we've been pushing for. So definitely my top goal right now is just a NESCAC win.
Hopefully that happens tonight, taking on Bowdoin. 7 o'clock, that's in Brunswick. You can watch with the link online we have on our website. Lauren Wong, Female Bobcat of the Week. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
The baseball team traveled to Trinity for the first three games of their NESCAC schedule over the weekend. Bates dropped the first two contests before winning 6-5 in Game 3 of the series. Senior captain Jack Brennan had another strong week for Bates, going 4-for-10 at the plate, doubling three times and tripling once. And he is our male Bobcat of the Week. Well, Jack, first time on the Bobcast, you're a senior captain for the baseball team. So just take me back, though, when you were in high school looking for colleges. What made Bates kind of the place for you?
Yeah, I mean, I knew kind of the whole way through playing baseball that I wanted to play and continue in college. And as I got closer to my junior, senior year, I started to focus in on higher academic schools. And was lucky enough to get an offer from Coach Martin, came here and visited and really liked the culture here. So it was just a great fit all around.
And then, being one of the captains this year, what's that experience been like, being one of the leaders of this team?
It's been great. It's obviously been an honor to have been selected as a captain by my teammates. And it's been awesome this year. I think we have a really great group of guys all around, both on the field and off the field. And it's been really easy so far.
Take us through, you play shortstop. Have you always been a shortstop growing up and everything, or did you move to it in college?
Yeah, so I mean, when I was younger, I played outfield. In high school, I played a lot of third base. I've played a little bit all around, but I got recruited as a shortstop, so I kind of expected to play shortstop here at Bates. But sophomore year, I played a little second, a little bit of outfield, so played a little bit all around.
Great. And then this past weekend, Trinity, always a tough opponent. On the road, some crazy games, I feel like. I mean, especially that doubleheader, really close games. Take us through the experience of the weekend battling there at Trinity, and it must have been nice to finish off the series with a win, right?
Yeah, it was definitely nice to finish off the series with a win. It was a tough first game of that doubleheader on Saturday. We, expected to win, and we were just the fly ball and the sun not in our eyes away from winning that game. We expected to win that series, so it's a little bit of a disappointment for us, but winning that last game leads us in with a lot of confidence into the next series this weekend against Tufts and the midweek here against Husson.
Yeah, because I feel like, last year and this year there have been some games where the team's right there, right? It's kind of some, one little thing, you know, even in the first game, that little blooper that fell into left field, I mean, it was a good pitch, and it could have been the third out. So, I mean, is that frustrating? Is that encouraging that the team is so close, in a lot of these games?
Right, yeah. I mean, I think this year in particular, I mean, those two circumstances in both games, that's just baseball.
Yeah.
I mean, that happens. But you're right, in past years, I think we've let some mistakes kind of derail a couple of games and ultimately our season. But I think this year we've showed a lot of mental toughness. That the Bard series, we were able to pull out a 15-inning game, and some of just, you know, games throughout the season, I think we've won a lot of close games. So I think we're getting a lot better at that this year and showing a lot more mental toughness. And that's really been one of Coach Martin's, you know, key focal points throughout the season.
You've had a lot of success at the plate here as for the past couple of seasons, and this past week you had a bunch of extra base hits. So take us through what's been working at the plate for you.
Yeah, I mean, I've just been trying to get on time. I think earlier in the season I was a little bit late on balls and getting my timing right. But this weekend I felt good. I was, you know, able to get my foot down and against some, you know, decent pitching, was able to put some good barrels on the ball, and that's really what it's all about. We're all focused on just putting up quality at-bats however we can and just, you know, hitting the ball hard, and hopefully good things will happen.
Yeah, certainly. Take us back, growing up, what made baseball kind of your sport, your favorite sport?
Yeah, I mean, I was always involved in baseball. My dad and my grandfather, they played. My grandfather was a big baseball fan, and my dad's a big Red Sox fan. So they put me in the game, you know, really early at 4 years old. So, you know, I just kind of fell in love with that along with some other sports, but, you know, really stuck to baseball.
What's been your most memorable moment on the baseball diamond to date?
I would probably say, that Skidmore series last year where we swept. That was a really fun series and able to walk. I think Brandon McGain had the walk-off, if I remember correctly.
That sounds right, yeah.
So, that was a really just exciting series and looking forward to having some more of those series this year against some NESCAC opponents.
Yeah, certainly. Hopefully at some point we'll have a home game. We're scheduled for one tomorrow against Husson at 3:30. Husson's always a good, tough non-conference opponent, right?
Yeah, Husson's good. I mean, they'll always have some good arms and some good bats, so it's a good midweek opponent for us and a good tune-up heading into obviously really important series here against Tufts.
Another thing is you guys run more than any team I've seen in a while. You broke the program record last year for stolen bases in one season. I know you had a number of steals yourself. What's that like, being so aggressive out there?
I mean, it's awesome. Yeah. Like, as a little bit more of a speedy guy myself, that's all you can dream about. Coach Flame, you know, really puts an emphasis on stealing as many bags as we can, being really aggressive, pushing it to our limit. Sometimes it hurts us a little bit, but and a lot of times it really helps us,
yeah.
And it puts a lot of pressure on the opposing team's pitchers, which is great. And, we have a lot of speedy guys in our lineup, so it's awesome.
Yeah, the Bobcats play a very exciting brand of baseball. If the weather cooperates, they'll be home tomorrow, which is Wednesday at 3:30 against Husson. You'll see Jack Brennan out there at shortstop. Thanks so much for joining us on the Bobcats. Really appreciate it.
Thank you.
After opening the outdoor season last weekend at Wesleyan, racing in what was essentially a bunch of puddles, the Bates track and field teams got the chance to compete in the bright sunshine this weekend at the Black and Gold Invitational, hosted by Bryant University. Competing against a number of Division I teams, the Bobcats impressed, with the men taking third place and the women finishing eighth. Senior captain James Guiney was named the NESCAC Men's Field Athlete of the Week for his personal record throws in the hammer and discus, respectively. Meanwhile, sophomore Ross Tejeda won the 800 meters and placed his name sixth on the Bates all-time performance list in the event. An All-American this past winter in the distance medley relay, Tejeda joins the Bobcast this week to update us on how the outdoor season is going so far. Well, Ross, outdoor season, you're a sophomore, but this is kind of your first real outdoor season. A couple meets in. What are your thoughts so far on how it's going? Because obviously a nice 800-meter win there for you on Saturday, right?
Yeah, it was a great run. We're looking forward to it. I think having come off of just racing one race last year in the outdoor season, I'm excited to see what I can do, and hopefully I can break through some glass ceilings this year.
Well, how's it feel to debut there at sixth all time in the outdoor 800?
It feels good. You know, I crossed the finish line and everyone started storming me, and I was just excited to finally be out there with my people, my group, just ready to compete, and felt good.
And we had you on before NCAAs as part of the DMR team.
Yeah.
And then the DMR team went out there and got All-America honors in a great race. I wanted to reflect a little bit on that and how it went, kind of your perspective leading off that race and then watching your teammates bring it home like that.
Yeah, so I just kind of told myself I'm going to be a tool for them, try to put them in good position. I'm not going to try to see if I can run, maybe get, snag the first place spot. I'm just like, look, I'm going to settle in an All-American position, and I trust my teammates to do the rest. Like I mentioned when I was here last time, there's no surprise we got to that point, and I'm not surprised that we got these All-American honors, and I'm just so happy to keep making history, and so it was a great opportunity.
Did you get to compete at the first outdoor meet this year, the rainy one?
I did.
Okay,
I did,
tell us about that experience competing in basically a puddle, it looked like.
Oh, yeah, it was a puddle. It was, when you're running behind, these runners who are running and kicking their feet up, and you're getting water in your eyes, can barely see. And that's, not even to mention the raining, which was already getting in your face. And, I have really long hair, so that was also kind of getting in my way. A lot of obstacles, but, this is what we train for. We run in the snow, we run in the rain. So being from Maine, I guess it was just another day for us.
Right. And then this past weekend, though, a little nicer weather, it looked like.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. We were laying on the turf, soaking in the sun, just excited for spring.
It looks like this weekend I saw some photos, some really exciting races. I know your teammate Ned Farrington had a dramatic victory. Take us through what you witnessed after, you had your 800-meter run, but you got to watch some other ones, I'm sure.
Well, yeah, we have where do we start? We have Ned Farrington kind of snagging the first place spot, I think by 0.01 seconds it was. We got a lot of other excellent performances. We have Ben Huston ran pretty well in the 5K. Who else? Let me think. Oh, James Guiney. Let's not even talk about the throws, because, running is great, but our throw squad is just fantastic. Those guys snag a lot of points for us. So just great, great performances all around, and I can't help but feel that it has to do with the great weather, too. So as the weather gets better, you just expect the performances to improve.
Yeah, we just announced today that James Guiney was named the NESCAC Field Athlete of the Week, so that's really exciting. We'll hope to have him on in a future episode. But, Ross, I'm curious. We talked a little bit about this when you were on with the rest of the DMR team, but you originally were a basketball player, right?
I was, yeah.
Okay, so tell me a little bit about the transition going from basketball to competing in track and field. How did that kind of happen?
So I would say I did basketball just to, basketball was like my thing. That was the sport I wanted to go to college for. Mm-hmm. But I sort of transitioned to track because I felt that, number one, I felt that I was just better at it. Number two, I fell in love with the community way more than I did with the basketball community. Mm. And number three, I would say I definitely got way more
interest from colleges.
Yeah, interest from colleges. Yeah. And so that was like the trifecta for me. And now here I am.
So tell me a little bit about the track community. What makes it so special in your opinion?
This actually calls back to the DMR. I was running against Ziad, who was the MIT front runner guy. I don't know if you guys saw him during the race. He was like way ahead of everyone else. When we were at Tufts, I kind of went up to him and I was like, hey, we're just trying to qualify for nationals. And he was like, hey, look, just stay on my back and I'll try to push you along. And I told him, iron sharpens iron. And he told me that when I saw him at Natty's again. And so that's just a microcosm of just how supportive the community is. Like, we're all running, we're all competing, and we're obviously all trying to, beat each other. But at the end of the day, we're also trying to beat our own times. So it's really just kind of competing with yourself. And I think that's a great metaphor for life, too.
And MIT, it was really special, I'm sure, to beat them at nationals, right?
Oh, well, then, yeah. Well, that too. I came up to him, and I was like, hey, who knew?
Yeah, right.
And he started laughing, and it was just the whole situation.
Excellent. So with the outdoor season, what are some thoughts in your mind? What are some goals you have kind of in your mind, going forward? We have, a bunch of meets here on tap, including hopefully one this Saturday in Massachusetts. I mean, the weather is going to be crazy the next couple of days, but hopefully it will be clear up in time for your guys' meet there on Saturday. But tell me a little bit about some goals you have in your mind, sort of.
Well, for me, I feel like I could definitely try to get that 800-meter record spot once and for all. I think I'm, is it six overall right now?
Yeah, you're six.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that, obviously that's the goal for me. And that would be excellent if I get it this year. If not, I know I have time, but, there's no time like the present. But apart from that, I would say just competing for my team, trying to get as many wins as possible and just really staying healthy because, I had a bad run for the last, 3 years going to high school where I was having Achilles and knee problems. And so taking my PT very seriously because, that's the foundation of, you know, where all the success can really come from.
Well, actually, you mentioned that, you know, we just wrapped up National Athletic Training Month with, you know, athletic trainers. What's it like working with the athletic trainers at Bates? Because obviously you've had to do that. You don't want to do that necessarily, but, you know, you've had to, and you're back now strong, it looks like.
So. Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, the athletic trainers here are excellent. I mean, they do the best with what they have.
Yeah.
And it's incredible to see them working with like 7 kids at once when you go in there. And that must be so stressful. So I commend them so much for doing just the work that they do. It's incredible.
Yeah. Going back to your goal. So right now your time is 152.26, which is 6th all time. The record is 150.02 from 1980. William Tyler. So it's a record that's been around a while. So what's it going to take to get those, 2+ seconds chopped off your time, perhaps.
You know, it's been a minute, but I've been talking to coaches, and we've kind of determined that my biggest weakness in the 800 would have to be that last like 100 meters, where the body is just done. You know, the legs aren't working.
Yeah,
you can't drive. So we're doing a lot of turnarounds. We're doing a lot of plyometrics that we're going to be implementing soon. Just enough work to kind of get my legs to really start driving off the ground. Especially when my body doesn't want to drive off the ground, because that's the difference between, you know, qualifying for nationals and then just, you know, kind of running a 152. So we'll see where we can go from there. Again, it's all dedication, commitment, discipline, and we'll see what happens.
Are you part of any relays this outdoor, or do you think you will be, or no?
Well, you know, there have been talks about the 4x4.
Okay.
I think I ran like a 50 point in high school.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, hey, apart from that, I don't really think so.
Okay, gotcha. So, but the DMR, I mean, obviously was a highlight of the indoor season, certainly. Well, any other thoughts you wanted to share on the first couple meets of the outdoor season we haven't got to talk about yet?
Not really. I mean, I'm just kind of settling into it. Yeah. I would say that the biggest thing was just kind of having to transition off this training block we had in March, and now we're back to competing. So workout days are a lot, you know, just a little bit lighter than they would have been in March. So it's definitely a lot more manageable, but looking forward to just being with the team, hanging out with everyone, and hopefully bringing in some wins.
There you go. Ross Tejeda, 6th all-time in the 800 meters in outdoor at Bates Men's Track and Field. Thank you so much for joining us on the Bobcast. Really appreciate it.
Thank you, Aaron.
On Saturday, the Bates Men's Lacrosse Program honored the 1984 team, which is celebrating the 40th anniversary of their remarkable season, which saw the Bobcats go 11-1 overall behind a defense that set program records such as highest save percentage and fewest goals allowed per game, which still stand today. Team captain Bill Bell from the class of 1984 was one of the anchors of that defense, and he joins the Bobcats to reflect on a fun alumni weekend for the Bobcats. Well, Bill, before we reflect on the 1984 season, take us back to this Saturday. What was it like reuniting with your teammates at Garcelon Field? How long had it been since you all had come together like that, if ever, perhaps, over the last, you know, 40 years here?
Well, it was a real treat personally for myself, and seeing the expressions and just feeling, knowing some of the characters who are there, some of my dear friends to the day, and I'll speak to that about Bates Lacrosse in a little bit, but the day was fabulous. A number of us were able to come up the night before, so we did a little Lewiston Auburn socialization on Friday evening leading into the day, which was wonderful. And I can't 100% remember, as a 61-year-old guy now, Aaron, but we got together a while ago for a celebration of the team, but I can't, it was during the fall. It was like when we'd have an alumni lax game. But I mean, that was really special. I thought the college and the program really made us feel very welcome, and it was just a lot of fun. 17, I was surprised by the number. We got 17 of the squad there, and that's a pretty impressive number for 40 years out. So I enjoyed myself very much, and even came away. I know we won't video it, but we got a little Bates 84 swag that my teammate John Boyle was gracious enough to afford everyone. So that was very nice.
Excellent. So, yeah, looking back on that 84 team, I mean, first of all, I want to ask you about playing for Webb Harrison, you know, a Bates alum himself. What was he like as a lacrosse coach?
He was great. Webb was a, you know, interesting guy because, as I've came to learn, he really didn't know anything about lacrosse, but he was a committed educator, broadly defined, not just from an academic standpoint, but a teacher of lessons. He had a very distinguished career coming through the military. I mean, he was, you know, he was more probably, you know, he was a tough, you know, not tough physically, but, you know, he could ride you pretty good. But he was trying to bring out the best in you. I mean, when we arrived, at least when I got to campus in the fall of 1980, yeah, I mean, I came like many guys, came up there to play some football. That's sort of how I got to know Webb. And lacrosse was kind of a secondary thing, at least. But we ended up putting together over the years I was there just a good collection, though. So Webb learned with us, to be honest with you. If I go back to some of the folks I learned from on the team in the 80s, the 81, 82s, they would tell you many of them knew more about lacrosse than Webb did, but he committed himself to learning the game. We were, a very lesser program back then in terms of a NESCAC world. No, I think we only played three or four NESCAC teams. We played the CBB schedule, and we played Conn College, and we played Wesleyan. But besides that, it was a collection of other schools, MIT's, Keene State, Mass Maritime, which I know you highlighted that huge victory.
19-1, yeah.
Yeah, but as they say in sports, you play the teams that are on your schedule. You don't make the schedule. So we played them all. But Webb was, I came to have it took a little while, I think, for a lot of us, but we came to appreciate Webb.
Excellent. And then for you personally, being a captain your senior year there, I talked with some of the guys who mentioned that you kind of you brought that team together. You were a big you're a strong leader. How did that kind of develop for you to bring the team together, especially your senior year with all that success you had from a leadership perspective?
Well, I was privileged to be able to do it. I had come from a high school that had a pretty strong sports tradition, so I was, used to playing in multiple team sports, football, hockey, lacrosse. Kind of later in high school, I came to it. I was a baseball player, and then all my friends were playing lacrosse, and I said, "Why aren't I playing lacrosse?" Or they said it, and I said, "You're right." So, but having the privilege of watching previous captains of the Bates clubs. I'm dear friends with the captain, one of the two captains of the 82 club, Jeff Melvin. He even came up. He was with us. Son Andrew was a very strong,
Yeah.
big player in the late teens, that 17 team that was a wagon with Charlie Fay and Kyle Weber and a number of other players. But it was a treat to be able to be recognized as the captain. I think it just reflected how people thought about me, but I also don't view it as we kind of collectively captained and policed ourselves too. We had a very strong senior class of leaders, Mark Thorburn in the net, Dave Hild alongside of me on the defense, Charlie Adams up on the midfield. There are others, but those were like sort of core group of folks right around me, and then the so it's a lot of fun. We just enjoyed it, took it for what it was, but we're all highly competitive, and but it was definitely an honor, and having to sometimes translate, bringing it back to Webb. Sometimes Webb wouldn't appreciate everything going on, and that sort of got moved through me to translate and report back, which is the role of a captain. So
Yeah,
it all
certainly.
went fine, though. It all went fine.
We mentioned you played on defense, and that team in particular in 84, the defensive numbers were amazing and like holding teams to under 6 goals per game. What made the defense so strong that year, in your opinion?
Yes, good players. Good players. It kind of starts from the goal on out. Mark Thorburn, who was my roommate and but still to this day a dear friend. He was like a fourth defenseman. He was very capable within the net, but he also liked to sort of get outside the crease and challenge guys. So, if it called for an extra D-man to make a play, it would often be him. But David Hild came from tremendous athlete, was came from a strong high school in Connecticut, Kingswood, Oxford. Great linebacker in football. He was a solid player myself. We had a lot of help from the guys one class below, folks. We just had Joey Mara, Tom Kravitz, had a great long stick middie, Billy Driscoll from my class. Haven't seen Billy in a lot of years, but Billy was in the early days of actually running a long stick middie. before it was a thing. Billy was a great player for that. Dave DeSantis. We just had a lot of good long sticks. And
Great.
who knew how to sort of play defense and get the ball, you know. Lacrosse is all about having the ball. If he who has the ball, he or she who has the ball scores the goals. So yeah, we just had a good, strong interior core. The midfield was strong too, because this was probably, you know, we this is the early days of lacrosse before it became all totally specialized. So, you know, middies played both ways. They wasn't defensive middies and offensive middies. Guys played both sides of the field.
Gotcha. I was curious about any memorable stories you would like to share about the 84 team. Anything that stands out, like on the field, off the field, that people might find entertaining.
Yeah, I mean, the sort of not a specific event, but things we did. I mean, we had a preseason trip, and this is kudos to Coach Harrison and Coach Pergavi, assistant coach. She was also the men's soccer coach at the time, George. We took a trip down to Bermuda in the late, I forget the dates, but that was sort of a bonding trip that we all went on. Yes, there was, you know, sort of fun hijinks of mopeds and silliness like that. But it was also a great time to sort of get to club together, share some very casual. It's not like lacrosse was a big sport in Bermuda. But there were a couple of teams we played down there. We were far superior, but it was still, that was a lot of fun. I remember, you know, every Bates lacrosse team back in the day there, we used to call it the Southern Swing. We went through Connecticut and in the early season. So we'd go down and do a run where we'd play Wesleyan and Conn College. I think generally Wesleyan first, but it might have flipped. You gotta love Coach Harrison. We stayed at this basically summer boys camp, Camp Hazen, and which was on this little pond and kind of right around Madison, Connecticut, in that area, East Lyme, right off 95. We're in, you know, bunks and, you know, we'd play cards at night, but the morning there was no hot water. So you just basically, you know, either skipped the shower or jumped in the lake or just froze your, you know, what's a little bit. So those kind of fun times. You know, some of my classmates probably remember some of the stupider stories, but I don't know. I've either forgotten them, but it's just a lot, you know, a lot of road trip time. Here or there, we obviously had a strong bond in the around campus that was lovely. So yeah, it was wonderful.
Great. And then I mentioned the Mass Maritime win, but what was maybe the most memorable game for you personally that season? Like beating Colby twice, or what really stands out to you?
Yeah, there were a lot of just, you know, a lot of great wins. Yeah, the Colby wins were nice wins because they were like a goal or two either way.
Yeah.
You know, beating Wesleyan down there was a kick because, you know, they have a very sort of homey little field within this forum down on campus. And the new Connecticut wins, the Conn College kids were all hanging out their dorms. They had speakers, they had music blaring. And, you know, it's always fun to win on the road.
Yeah.
You know, just because, you know, you're generally dealing. I mean, it's not like a pro sports crazy environment. You know, there's only so many people watching back then, but it generally, you know, you're generally on the bottom side of the cheering. And, you know, it was fun. Conn College, Wesleyan were great wins. We went to, I don't know if it was our senior year. I remember one at Plymouth State that they were just so nasty towards us and we beat them. And it was just like, see ya, gotta go. So
So Plymouth State was the most hostile atmosphere.
yeah, it's just, I don't know. Well, I think it's, you know, some of the guys there were pretty rugged too. It was kind of a bit of a fight on the lacrosse field. So yeah.
Interesting. Well, I know we have to wrap things up here shortly, but just your thoughts I wanted to share about the 84 team, the reunion this weekend we haven't gotten to talk about yet.
Yeah, I would just, you know, just as a thought, and I'm sure it's with all clubs, you know, lacrosse is a kind of a, somewhat of a unique sport. There's a bit of a, particularly when I was coming along and starting, it's evolved so much, youth lacrosse now and all of that, but the some particular bond within the sport. It's even with guys on the other teams, you know, there's a, you know, you just feel you're part of a particular community. And, you know, that whole feeling, that whole bond thing has lasted through life. The number of the folks who were there, I'd just seen a couple of months earlier skiing on ski slopes in Vermont. And, you know, it's not like everybody, but that core group has always stayed together. So, yeah, it was a special time. And, you know, I still have dear friends from other classes there, the 82 Club. As I said, the 83 Club, we all had some fun, but it was nice to wrap it up at the end of our college career with such a strong performance and a record, and I'm really pleased the university, the college, wants to continue to recognize us, and we'd like to, you know, see the current youngsters, you know, build that sense of camaraderie too, and I'm sure they will. But yeah, it's it was a real treat. And Aaron, you were great to sort of host us, and did a wonderful job on the mic, making us sound larger than we were and are. But yeah, a real treat. And, you know, it's nice to be able to give back a little. So appreciate it.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much, Bill Bell, the captain of the 1984 Batesmen's lacrosse team, joining us here on the Bobcast this week. Thanks so much for your time. Really appreciate it.
Thank you, Aaron. Take care now.
Although the men's lacrosse team fell to Trinity on Saturday, Bates gets a chance to bounce back Tuesday night when they host Bowdoin at 7 p.m. on Garcelon Field. Meanwhile, the baseball team plays their home opener Wednesday at 3:30 p.m. against Husson, and softball looks to get in the win column in NASCAC play this Saturday at Middlebury. Check out GoBatesBobcats.com for the complete schedule, and we'll catch you next time on the Bates Bobcast. We'll be right back.